COVID-19 cases are on the rise in our community. To help prevent the spread of COVID-19, stay home and only leave for essentials if you are sick. When you go out, practice physical distancing. Wear a face covering. Wash your hands often with soap and water. Avoid large indoor gatherings of people. Get tested. You will not be fined for testing positive. For more information or to find the testing site, call 311.
What are we gonna do with our children? What are we gonna do to show we care? How are we gonna be there for our children when they feel that life has just not been that fair?
Wages, he's cut taxes.
Now it's recording. Okay, now it's playing. What's
I could go on for an hour and a half.
The plan was working. Everybody had a job, making money, spending money.
Testing, testing, 1, 2, 3, now, okay. Okay, let me, testing, 1, 2, 3, testing, 1, now it seems to be working.
Okay, there you go.
Thank you, you're a
good evening and welcome back to Mask's weekly radio show on Family Matters. Mask, Mothers and Fathers, Alliance Saving Kids, kids of all ages and all stages for all mental health issues, including addiction and in-school issues. If you know someone that needs a referral or a support group or someone to help place a student in a yeshiva, feel free to give Mask a call on our confidential and can be anonymous. Phone number is 718-758-0400. I will repeat that. Maybe you want to jot down for yourself, a loved one, a spouse, maybe somebody, a neighbor, or someone you usually would sit next to in shul. Jot down our number, share it, 718-758-0400. So tonight I'm really honored to have with us, I should stand up when I welcome her, I'd like to introduce and welcome Dr. Karen Cassidy, who's a sought-after speaker. She's on national media all the time. She's been on a TEDx speaker, and she's shared her own personal experiences publicly. But most important, she is a host on a radio show. So I'm sure I could learn so much from her just about the radio show, but tonight we are going to be speaking about agoraphobia and germophobia. So I'd like to welcome you on. Thank you, Dr. Cassidy. I know how difficult it is to get us into your schedule, but thank you for being on.
Rakama, I want to thank you and Mask. You're so kind to have me, and you're obviously a very humble woman. So I'm humbled that I'm here and honored to be here, and I hope I can help your listeners.
Thank you. So, Dr. Cassidy, I know you won an award on, you know, the Anxiety and Depression Association for Clinician of Distinction Award. I know you're a chairman of the Board of OCD Foundation. I know you published numerous scientific articles on parenting and managing anxiety. And Mask has been on my radio show speaking the last, you know, several weeks. We've been bringing up the issue of anxiety. We're during COVID. Things are difficult, not only for children, for parents, for everybody. But there are so many different ways, unfortunately, that people are viewing the issue of COVID. And so much has happened where there it's almost like color war. There are two sides and two teams. Mm-hmm. One team is wear the mask. It's not over. It could be another year before we get some sort of, inoculation where we can, go outside without the mask. Then there are the other team, and they're like, no, it's fine. We can go to eat. We can go to dance. We can go to bars. We can go out. So let's talk about, in general, the effects for those that are agoraphobic or those that are germophobic. And let's talk about how come some people get triggered by the pandemic to become so anxious about germs and being around other people, and some people not at all. And by the way, doctor, before you answer that, mm-hmm. I was in a grocery this morning, locally near my office, just picking up something for the office. Nobody was wearing masks. I looked like the nut job because I was the only person in the entire store, and the store was packed with people. Nobody was wearing a mask. Nobody was social distanced. Everyone was on top of each other, and I was like scratching my head and saying, are we supposed to be doing this? Because when I get in the car and I hear the news, they say wear a mask. And then when I go into the grocery, I really look really like an idiot wearing a mask. So how do we look at this with a clearer picture, please?
You are bringing up such an important issue because, one thing that is unique to American culture is we highly value independence, forming your own opinion, and, kind of creating your own world. And I think that is very different than, say, if we were an Asian country where a collectivist or a group mentality is really important. And if a government or, a state authority says wear your mask or a doctor says it, then people do it. And, so we have that happening. And then the other thing that I think you were talking about is we know that if we look at the genetics of transmission for a tendency to develop anxiety disorders, we're estimating about 40% of the population is in that group where we have inherited things that make us more susceptible to developing problems with anxiety. And some of what we inherit is an over-active or trigger-happy, response to things that makes us anxious. And some of what we inherit is just differences in the way our brains and gut process neurotransmitters related to anxiety and mood. And so what we think is happening is several things. One is we're seeing that people who had pre-existing anxiety disorders are especially at risk. So when they experience the uncertainty that we have here with this pandemic, then we know they're much more likely to worry and to seek reassurance and to do protective things. And so the people who, before there was even any public health advisory saying we ought to wear masks, they were the ones ordering large boxes of masks from the pharmacy or Amazon. They were the early people. And then we also see that there's differences by age group. And so, one thing we saw, for example, in Florida is all these young adults and teens who are creating massive opportunities for outbreak. And that's because that age group has a decrease in their ability to empathize, and they have an increase in their sense of invincibility and invulnerability. It's the reason that young men sign up to go to war, or young women, because they really don't think they're the one that's going to get injured or hurt. And so we have that intermingling with this. And then we know that the one of the things about uncertainty that is so difficult is if you tend to be anxious or have that family history, then what you do when there's uncertainty is you try to narrow the infinite range of possibilities to just the worst case scenario because you take a better safe than sorry strategy. And so your mind just thinks about what would be the worst thing that could happen. I would get the worst version of COVID, or I would give it to my parents or my grandparent or my vulnerable disabled child. And then because you're thinking about it, our brain is kind of stupid. It can't tell the difference between imagined fear and a real situation. So we can watch a movie of a scary thing and we feel really thrilled. And then we can be in a real life dangerous situation and feel really thrilled. And then the problem with our brain is when it feels that increase in physical arousal in our body, then it assumes, it's hardwired to assume there must be danger, and we start reacting to it as though it's real. And that's why some people, I have some people, patients I know where they have not left their house and they're still ordering everything online, even though we now know if you were to practice social distancing and wear a mask, that would be a reasonable way for a person to get around in our society now. And so all those things are entering into it. So I've seen in my practice people who had successfully undergone treatment and done well. This has really just bumped up their anxiety level and made their pre-existing condition worse and added on new fears. And then I've seen people where they perhaps never had a diagnosable anxiety disorder all of a sudden notice, I'm getting stuck worrying, I'm having trouble sleeping, I'm tense, I'm tight, I can't relax, and it's, that's going on. And then the last thing I should mention is all of us have mirror neurons in our brain that help us empathize. And so when we hear and see other people who are scared or worried, one of the ways we do empathy is we literally mimic the person's gestures and we create the same physical gestures and sensation that other person has. And that's how fear can spread so fast in a crowd or in a large group. And so that has also led to sort of this, the big spread of anxiety that we're having. So all of those things are working together, and it makes it complicated. And then, quite frankly, we're getting all kinds of competing information. And so that problem of uncertainty has not resolved for us as a society. And I hear people all the time, like, I don't know who to trust. I don't know who to listen to. The
right.
Government says one thing one day, and then CDC says something the next day, and it makes it really uncertain.
Yeah, it really does. But, shouldn't people err on the side of caution? And what about if there is a couple with children and one spouse feels they should be more cautious and wear masks and social distance, and the other spouse doesn't feel that way? So then where's the family safety in reference to this situation?
Yeah, and Ruchama, I would agree with you that I think the civic-minded thing and the compassionate thing is to err on the side of caution and to protect those who are vulnerable. And, that's where I see people who have a religious background have an advantage because they've been taught that, but even that might make people pick a stand that doesn't work. And so one thing that we need to hear and learn to do is to be tolerant and compassionate. And what unfortunately has happened in our culture here and in our media is this idea of, I'm going to call it an uncivil way of thinking and reacting to differences amongst us, instead of seeking to understand and seeking to heal and to bridge gaps. And so one of the things, you mentioned this is like almost like the Cold War or the Civil War. So one thing I've done with a lot of families is to get the person to express what's their fear that's underneath their position. Because both sides have fears. So the people who are wearing masks are thinking and worried. worried about disease transmission or death. And then the people who are wearing masks, their fear is that somehow my rights are being infringed, or I will be so uncomfortable wearing a mask, I won't be able to handle it and get my work done. And that's the most important thing. And I found oftentimes if you can get couples or family members or parents with young adults or teens who are having a hard time respecting the requests of the family to protect the elders or the vulnerable, that when you can hear another person's fear, and it's easier to empathize with it rather than just misperceiving them as against you. And then I think the other thing that everyone agrees on is it's much better to get along. And so if you can have people say, you know, I really want to feel comfortable with you. I want to feel close with you. I want us to have a good relationship. And to approach the problem from that rather than trying to convince the other person. And then the last thing is when you have young adults and teens or kids who are rebelling by ignoring the school or the, you know, societies or the rabbi's request for, you know, let's wear masks when we're doing this. You have to figure out what's their motivation and speak to that motivation. So if the motivation is, I really want to be independent, I want to be different, I want to prove that I'm not just a patsy for any authority, then you have to try and think of, okay, how could wearing a mask help them achieve that? And one thing I found that's really effective is to say, okay, if you don't wear a mask, what do you think these other people are really thinking? Are they admiring how adult and independent you are? Are they noticing how manly or womanly you are? Or are they just pissed off? And, you know, and that may be something you want, but how does that help you achieve your goal? And what are other ways you could really show that maturity that you want to be acknowledged for? And I found oftentimes when you can hook into that and help someone realize there are better ways for me to make my point, it's easier for them to acquiesce and realize I'm not losing faith, or I'm not somehow, you know, being a patsy, or I'm not compromising on my integrity, because we all like to feel like we have integrity.
Yes, indeed. Maybe, I mean, I'm still wearing a mask. My father, Olav Shalom, passed away 7 years ago. He was one of the founders of Hatzalah. My brothers, my nephews, my son, everybody, families involved with Hatzalah, which is the emergency ambulance service. And I hear so much about how the illness is still going on. And actually, Hatzalah, they have referred cases of people that were on respirators for 4 or 5 months. They referred them to mask, and we set them up with therapists now that they're getting stronger and better. And I've heard so much that I know we're not over, that it's just even confusing, you know, when I walk into a grocery and I'm the only one wearing a mask. But the show is about agoraphobia and germophobia. Mm-hmm. So let's get back to that. And that is, how can a therapist actually help someone that is diagnosed maybe with anxiety disorder and germs is one of those issues they're struggling with or getting ill when this whole pandemic is going on? And besides helping them, can you describe the treatment that could be involved in helping them, please?
Yeah. So the best treatment is called exposure therapy. And that is where you literally learn to face your fear by doing the things that make you scared. And initially during a pandemic when you're supposed to be exercising caution, that sounds contradictory. But actually the way we draw the line for our patients is say, don't do anything extra that the CDC or other health reasonable health authorities are recommending. So, for example, I've had patients where they're wearing a mask, like you or I might wear, a face mask, another mask on top of their mask, several pair of gloves, and they're doing that when they're walking in the park and they're not even remotely near 6 feet around someone, or they're refusing to use public facilities when they're out, or they're not going into the grocery store where, you know, my understanding is if we wear a mask, then we use hand sanitizer, we're fine. We don't have to do a lot of extra and act like we're in a COVID unit or in a, you know, an operating room where you really do have to follow sterile procedure. And so we, and that would mean if someone's afraid to go to the store, then we practice going to the store, and we might go in, step in just for a few seconds and step out, and then try and go in and walk around an aisle and come out and do this repeatedly. And what happens when you do it repeatedly is two things take place. One is you start having your body get used to it, and you do what we call habituate. And all animals and people do this, and so we do it over and over. And it would be kind of like if you hated roller coasters and you had to ride it 100 times in a row, you'd be scared maybe the first dozen, but by 50 or 60, you'd be bored, and by 100, you'd be begging to get off, not because you're scared, but because it just doesn't have any interest to you anymore. And that's what we do with exposure practice. And so we might have someone not spritzing off all their groceries with hand sanitizer, which is not recommended. We don't want people eating that alcohol stuff they use. It's actually toxic for us. And preparing them without doing special cleaning other than what you would do to rinse vegetables because you normally do. We would have them use a public facility. We might have them practice riding public transportation, which they're avoiding. And doing it wearing a mask and using hand sanitizer and not using paper towels to touch everything or rubber gloves when they don't need them. And so those are the things that we do, is because we want, what we're seeing now because this is going on, is we need to adjust long term and find that delicate balance between appropriate risk and foolish risk. And appropriate risk is we wear masks and we clean our hands, and we don't congregate in, you know, like on the beaches in Florida during spring break. But otherwise, we live our lives, and we carry on. And then I think the other thing we do is, because anxiety creates that fight, flight, or freeze thing, is we tell patients, if you react with your fight, you're giving in to your anxiety, so don't try and dress down all the other people that aren't wearing their masks. Don't yell at them. Don't vent at them. That's only going to exacerbate your anxiety. And take a compassionate approach toward them. And those are the things that really work well.
So, Dr. Cassidy, school is starting. And for the last several weeks, kids have been in these, you know, pods. You know, families have chosen other families where they get together with, and minimum amount of people. But let's be realistic. The kids are going to go back to school sitting in a Lucite box, practically staring at a Lucite, you know, plexiglass in front of them, where the teacher's going to have a plexiglass, and they have to eat at their desks. They have no playtime socialization. They have to sit with their masks on. They have to stay 6 feet apart from it. How are these kids going to handle this? And one more question is that some people are asking, until there's a vaccine or the pandemic subsides, should those that are suffering with anxiety stay home and Zoom their classes? What are your feelings on those questions, please?
And actually, what we're seeing when we're doing research on the population of people who are anxious is just staying home and avoiding makes it worse. And so we're advocating, you know, professionals like myself and the Anxiety and Depression Association of America, is that you find some kind of happy medium, because it's better to see your peers even socially distanced or to have a small pod than to be in isolation. And I think that's one of the big things we've learned thus far from this pandemic, is that fantasy of living that virtual life actually isn't much fun, and that we do need human contact. And so I'm encouraging all my clients to find little pods where you can be face-to-face children can play, and then they can play indoors, you know, when the weather gets bad, and to try and find families who can agree with you, this is how we're going to conduct ourselves with our social distancing so that we have a similar standard and can trust each other. And then the other thing is I am starting to see kindergartners and first graders who are hating school online, or and that they're happier when they have a hybrid model where they can have some time together. And we know that particularly for young children, third grade and younger, the online way of learning is very, very challenging for them. And so I think it's where we're going to have to keep in mind that I think our most vulnerable kids are the ones we need to get back first, our special ed kids, our anxiety disorder kids, because they really deteriorate when they don't have that face-to-face socialization.
Well, Dr. Cassidy, it's been wonderful. Time flies. You know, the 30 minutes go so quick. But I want to, first of all, say thank you to you for all that you do and to help moms and dads with their self-confidence and helping their kids thrive. And I just want to bring up that kids with ADHD, they're seeing how their parents are reacting. So what are your last message that you can offer to parents in less than a minute, please?
Sure. Yeah, I think if you have a kid with ADHD, you have got to have playtime and outdoors time and not just sit them in front of a computer terminal. And we know that too much screen time is especially bad for that vulnerable population. And I would, you know, encourage you to, no matter what your fears are, form some play pods or school pods where there's a couple of kids together who are maybe doing the same online learning, so at least in your house they have a group where they can have that socialization, and to do small chunks of time interspersed with some vigorous activity. And I also recommend sitting them on one of those exercise balls if they have to be at a terminal or at their desk, and that'll help a lot.
A great idea. Well, thank you. Lovely speaking with you. Thanks for coming on, really, very much.
Ruchama, thank you so much. I'm so glad for what you're doing. This is so important. So thank you to MASC for your work, and thank you for having me as a guest.
Thank you. Hope to have you on again very soon. I'd like to wish everyone a very good evening, a beautiful Shabbos, and let's always remember, hang in, hold on, and for now, virtually, hug tight. Thank you, and have a good night.
COVID-19 cases are on the rise in our community. To help prevent the spread of COVID-19, stay home and only leave for essentials if you are sick. When you go out, practice physical distancing, wear a face covering, wash your hands often with soap and water, avoid large indoor gatherings of people, get tested. You will not be fined for testing positive. For more information or to find the testing site, call 311. With sukkahs right around the corner, you'll love what you save on everything you need for your sukkah. From schach, bamboo mats in all sizes, and tarps at Borough Park Certified Lumber and Home Centers. They have a huge selection of sukkah hardware, including pulleys, ropes, hooks, bolts and nuts, timers, cable ties, extension cords, three-way plugs, fluorescent lights, and so much more. If you want a ready-made sukkah, easy to put together, requires no tools, then the Wonder Sukkah is for you and is exclusively available only at Borough Park Certified Lumber. Of course, they have a large selection of tables and benches for your sukkah, as well as the new Shabbos bulbs. Whatever you need for sukkahs and all year round, you name it, they have it. Indoors and outdoors, get it all at Borough Park Certified Lumber and Home Centers, 4601 Newtrick Avenue in Borough Park and 466 Kent Avenue in Williamsburg. For more information, including shipping nationwide, call them at 718-853-3100. That's 718-853-3100.
Thanks for listening.